You are listening to Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. This week, two stories were released about secretive funds benefiting Michigan legislators and the Republican and Democratic parties. The stories were a joint investigation by MLive and the Michigan Campaign Finance Network. Joining me are Emily Lawler of MLive and Craig Mauger of Michigan Campaign Finance Network. First, explain what the law was prior to 1994 when it was actually changed.
Yeah, so there used to be these funds called office holder expense accounts, and they were recorded through the Secretary of State. They reported their donors and expenditures, but since it's illegal for corporations to give directly to a candidate committee in Michigan, it was a way for corporations to give to these office holder expense accounts and still get that level of influence over the process. But those were eliminated in 1994. There was some thought that they had gotten kind of out of control, or, the representative I talked to who fought to eliminate them said that they were paying for things like mortgages and cars that weren't necessarily intended when the funds were created.
So, Craig, this was all on the record, though.
Yeah, all of these donors were disclosed and the expenses were disclosed, which is what kind of led to their demise, is that people were questioning the expenses that were disclosed.
So that law was passed in 94. Emily, what has happened in the interim between then and now?
Dan Gustafson, the representative who fought to eliminate these funds, said it was maybe 3-4 years later that he started seeing nonprofits crop up. Nonprofits and 527 administrative accounts exist now. They're both tax-free entities organized under different sections of the IRS code. But nonprofit 501c4 groups can collect up to $50,000 before they have to start reporting expenditures only. They never have to report donors. And then 527 groups are slightly different in their organization. They do have to report expenses and donors, but only if they raise more than $25,000 per year.
Now, Craig, your two organizations got together, said, let's research this, let's find out. But this wasn't something you could go to the Secretary of State and find out. There were no campaign disclosures because the campaigns weren't involved. So what did you have to do?
We had to do a lot of legwork. We had to comb through thousands of IRS records, other documents that we could find in corporation filings with the state of Michigan. Campaign finance records helped us find some of these accounts. And we talked to more than 50 sources to try to pair up which lawmakers were raising money through these secret entities. When we talked about the office holder expense accounts, those were done away with much because a lot of Republicans and others were like, we don't like the way that this is happening. We don't like the amount of fundraising they're doing and what they're spending their money on. So they got rid of them. And now the public has no idea what's going on in this realm because they simply drove it into the dark. You know, it's still happening, but it's happening in secret.
Emily, you found that more than one third of lawmakers have these accounts, but that's not a definite number, correct?
Right. I mean, I think Craig suspects in his research that it could be closer to half of lawmakers. The third represents those that we could definitively prove had some sort of connection to the accounts we were researching. There are other lawmakers who, you know, chose not to cooperate. Not that all of the ones who are on the list were cooperative. But, you know, there are other lawmakers who, you know, we might have had a strong suspicion were connected to account but couldn't really prove it out, or who, the paper trail kind of led there but maybe not strongly enough. So I think the total universe of funds we were looking at, which included some local funds from city officials, was like 120, 130.
Yeah, it was more than 120.
Yeah, so that's how many of like these accounts corporations are kind of giving to out there. That's kind of the universe we were looking at. And of that, we were able to connect fewer than half of them to actual lawmakers.
So if this was so badly thought of in 1994 that they basically banned this, and now we've got a new version that involves dark money, that is secretive funds, why isn't somebody screaming bloody murder now?
Yeah, I think it goes back to the question that Emily just answered. Everyone is doing this. Not every lawmaker, but everyone's caucus or party is doing this in some way or another. So everyone, no matter what side of the aisle you're on, is tied into this in one way or another. So I think it's very difficult for a lawmaker who opposes this type of fundraising to speak out against it, because if that person speaks out against it, he or she would be speaking out against many of the people who are on that lawmaker's team. I mean, being a fellow Democrat or a fellow Republican or being a fellow member of that person's caucus. I think that's the reason why there is not much talk about this in Lansing.
Emily, you quoted Senate Majority Leader Arlen Meekhoff, or you didn't quote him, but you used him as an example. But he didn't have a response to this at all. Has he responded since?
No, I haven't heard from him or his spokesperson. And to his credit, he did talk to me pretty early on in this investigation. But the specific question about the $10,000 switch donation was one that he declined through a spokesperson. The legislature, if you recall, passed a pretty big package that was kind of a tax break for data centers. And this was in kind of the end of the year last year. And they passed this package. It was pretty controversial at the time, and it was initiated by a company called Switch, who wanted to locate in West Michigan. And, you know, exactly 100 days after the Senate had given final approval to this package of tax breaks that would largely benefit one company, that company donated to the Meekhoff administrative account $10,000. So, you know, it's one of those things that's maybe the appearance of impropriety, but who knows what motivated that donation. When I talked to Switch, basically they said in a statement that they supported people who supported data centers.
Craig, we've talked about this before. When you talk to people about money and politics, sometimes they just kind of shrug and like, yeah, who would have guessed? You know, they just become so used to money being a really big, I was going to say problem, but being really influential, let's say, in politics, that you can't shock them anymore. Is this another example of people just saying, well, that's the way the game's played?
I think there are two reactions to this. Some people who do react that way and say, oh, shocking, a lawmaker is getting money in the dark from someone that is pushing policies that are before them. Some people just think this is how things work, and they're kind of just frustrated with the whole process, and that's their reaction, kind of what you described. Other people are kind of shocked by the fact that this can happen secretly. I think that's probably the most troubling thing here, is that all of this can happen without the public knowing about it. The public has no idea in these situations whether someone who is backing a bill before a lawmaker has also given directly to that lawmaker through one of these accounts. As the former executive director of Michigan Campaign Finance Network often said, democracy dies in the dark. And that's what's really problematic in these situations, is that we have no idea what's happening here.
Emily, your second story talked about the parties. The Michigan Republican Party got in excess of $2 million through this method. The Michigan Democratic Party, close to $500,000. Are we surprised that if it's happening with the legislators, that it's happening with the parties as well?
No, but I would add that there's another layer of secrecy with these party accounts. There's a pretty specific carve-out in the law about reporting 527 administrative accounts, and the Michigan Republican and Democratic parties have these accounts, but they don't even have to publicly report their existence. So we found them because corporations were disclosing having given to them, but you know, if you go look as a citizen, if you try to find these, they don't exist for all intents and purposes in IRS records or private organizations that collect 990s or state records. So these are kind of another layer of how secret these things can be.
That is Emily Lawler with MLive, and along with Craig Mauger of Michigan Campaign Finance Network, they work together in a joint investigation to try to shed some light on some of this dark money. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.